Welcome to the Recruiter Startup Podcast. Hope you're all well. It is October the 14th. The market seems to be ticking along just nicely, thank God. It's been a hairy period of time in business for a lot of us. And I'm quite happy to be at this point and looking forward to the new year, thinking about how things will improve and all the structural things that we've put into our business to make it a bit more robust. And all in all, I'm quite positive about things. And one of the things that I'm trying to do is improve our client acquisition process in our scale business. We've won a major account. We have quite a good spread in Dublin. So I'm quite happy with that. However, I always kind of want to add more and figure out new and exciting niches for when we build out that business next year. So what I've done is in testing out some micro niches like cybersecurity and Microsoft and different tech verticals in the vendor world. And we've also had a look at aerospace. So what we've done is we're testing out different niches to see where the appetite is. And one of the ways that we're doing this is we're working with Richard Gibbard. He's a marketing expert and a good lad too. My wife plays poker with him and a bunch of recruitment suppliers every month. And Rich is helping us do this by narrowing down these niches, getting the data, and running campaigns to really see if we can get these people into our sales funnel. And I know that's a bit of a marketing buzzword. So why don't I hand you over to Rich? Here's the interview we did where we discussed this, so it might make it easier for you guys. If you want to get in touch with Rich, hit him up on LinkedIn or drop me a line and I'll make an introduction. We have just started. We've collated all the data. We've done all the targeting and we're just getting to go to work on this now. Immediate response is there's a couple of good results so far and I'm quite happy. So I'm really interested to see where we go with this over the next month. I'll report back on all the results that we get. I'll get Rich on and we'll discuss it. And if it hasn't worked for any reason, we'll find out why and we'll tweak it and we'll do it again. But ultimately, you know, I want to build a good business. And I think it's just so important to have people like Rich around that, you know, can give you a different perspective on what you're doing in your business and maybe just add 5% here or there from a marketing perspective that helps you, you know, just get that one client. When I interview people, you know, like, and I ask them about the last recession, how'd you go? Yeah, it was tough. Yeah, I bet it was. But like, how'd you get through it? Well, we had a major account and we did X amount of placements in that. And then as things picked up, we had a great candidate pool. And then we kind of worked with some of their competitors and it just built from there. And that was a story I kept hearing. So if you can get that one major account now, you'll be okay for the next period of time. And it's just about driving towards that, especially as a small business. So that's the plan anyway. And big thanks to Rich for his time so far. I hope if you're listening to this, you reach out to him because he's a good guy. So over to Rich. So Richard Gibbard was one of the investments we made in our business this year. One of the areas that I looked at and went, we don't have an email marketing solution. How can we do this? How can we do it well? How does that work? I don't have a clue. Thank God he was around to help us do that. I realized I wasn't selling enough retainers. So I got some help from the guys that Retrained. And they've got a course. And it's really helped us up our sales in that piece. So big shout out to Louise at Retrained. Thanks for that. And we updated our tech stack this year. We moved on to Vincere, which has been brilliant. We also moved our phone systems to CloudCall. And most recently, we've just moved on to Odro. So big shout out to the guys at Odro. And not only is the product brilliant, it's also great for us from the podcast perspective because they have an editing function on it, which is really helping our marketing manager, Georgiana, get stuff done on that, which I'm really happy to hear. The team seem very happy with that as well. So despite the product being great, the other thing I love about the guys at Audro is I just love their media. I love how involved they are out there adding value. And we're really happy to be partnered with them. So big shout out to everybody who helps our business tick. It's very appreciated. And we really respect your ongoing support. We are recording. Eventually, we got Simon Pegg on the podcast. It's not the first time you've heard that, is it?
Joe, I'm more like the fat guy, to be fair, from those films. I get called John Candy. To be fair, I look like, or I used to look like the third Jedward twin as well. So, to be fair, it's probably the best compliment I've ever had for a long
time. Yeah, I'm having a look at Simon Pegg here on my phone next to you, and like, he could be your dad. Right, okay. Where shall we start here, Rich? Where shall we start?
For me, I think if you're going to have recruitment agency owners listen to this podcast, where I can help those guys really is how you can go about perhaps generating better leads, new leads, maybe a few hints and tips really on what recruiters and agency owners can do so that, you know, new business or content or marketing or social media or whatever it is becomes that a little bit easier, because sometimes for a lot of companies it's a struggle.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Before we jump into that, you spent a number of years as a recruiter. Was it like your first proper job?
Yeah, absolutely. Apart from working behind a bar at Students' Union, you can count. That counts as a proper job, right? No. Okay. So, yeah, it's exactly that. I think the same route. We all were stuck with debt. And what do you do to clear the debt? You get a sales job as quickly as you can. And then you go on these. I think I was went through Pareto, Pareto Law, placing graduates. And then, before you know it, I originally from Leicester, moved up to Manchester, and then kind of there you are working in recruitment. So, it's just a matter. It was just a quick way to get rid of your debt, and then before you know it, 10, 15 years later, you're still in and around the industry.
10 years you did with Finley James. That's a long stint, eh?
Yeah. It's I can't believe it was 10 years. I think they purely tech sales recruitment, and vast majority was perm as well. So I think I learned a lot. I think at the time I didn't realise how much you learn, but essentially when you are selling salespeople to experienced tech salespeople, so like the whole process of selling a salesperson to a salesperson, you end up you do learn quite a lot, really. And I didn't realise what I knew was probably quite as valuable as what I thought. So so a long time there.
When, without answering the question for you, because I sell salespeople too, and anytime I do tech sales, it's always interesting to know how far ahead these tech companies are than recruitment companies and how they go about their sales and marketing. While you were in a recruitment company and you were seeing what Salesforce or whoever else you were dealing with, were you like, why are we not doing that? How did the genesis of you moving into being a marketeer happen?
I think it's perhaps recruitment is a funny industry in that there's so much pressure to achieve now, so much pressure and the KPIs and whatever people use, there's so much in terms of having to achieve your goals straight away. And so sometimes I think what tech does and what it does really well is it gives itself time to evaluate, look at what tools are working, look at the systems, game plans, processes, whatever tech is out there. And I think that technology companies, SaaS companies, implement those game plans a lot better than recruiters, Because recruiters, on the other hand, are very, where's your next interview coming from? Have you done 80 calls today? Or, you know, have you spoke that my first KPIs were 80 calls, 16 decision makers, and that was it. 5 days a week, you get on the phone. Whereas I think technology probably took a step back from that and looked at quality over quantity, and then the tools to support the quality, really. And I think that's where recruitment's getting the head around it now. Absolutely, they are.
How far do we have to go? Catch up.
I think it's an ever-evolving process. I think there will be, yeah, let's face it, 10, 15 years ago, social media wasn't around, was it? Or if it was, it was in its infancy. So there's always going to be something that's going to be changing. There's going to be a new way to contact somebody, and there will be a new way to build up trust and build up rapport with people. God knows what it is, but when that time comes, recruiters, I think, hopefully, will kind of go along with the journey a little bit faster than perhaps what they had done.
Can I throw a couple of curveballs at you?
Always.
Okay. All right. It's day one. I've just left a big agency, and I've realized that actually I'm probably not as good as I thought I was. And that database that I was taking for granted was pretty good. And those people around me who were handing me jobs, they're not there anymore. I just got a website, but it's not getting any traffic. I think I've picked a niche. Let's say it is tech sales. And I'm thinking of the USA. Might narrow it down. I might narrow down the vertical. What should I do, Rich? How can I go about building this marketing machine that's going to help my recruitment business?
Getting rid of, ignoring all the fluffy stuff at the beginning of the whole, why am I getting into this and this? What are your personal values and all that stuff that I think does make a difference.
I have an expensive wife I need to pay for.
Right. That's enough of a value to the driver. Fine. Kids as well. So yeah, the first thing you need to do is understand who it is that's going to buy your service and how many people want to buy your service. So say, for example, you are looking at tech companies in the USA. Well, let's face it, there's thousands. There are literally thousands upon thousands of CROs, chief revenue officers, VP sales, CEOs, depends on what the job titles are. Mm-hmm. But the first step is to understand or get a find as many people that will be interested in your service.
How do I narrow it down, Rich?
Well, that goes on your niche and what you're doing it, because the more that you cast your net wider, the difficulty it is to be a specialist. You yourself, you your business itself, if you were to become if I was to become a marketing agency that helps everybody, then I lose that little niche ability. So that's probably a bit of an open-ended question in terms of, I personally would stick to a niche and go for that niche. And then if you're not getting the revenue from that, perhaps expand or go at different areas.
So let's say it's cybersecurity sales. It's the vendor world, not the end user. It's East Coast, not West Coast. Or should I narrow down the geography? Or am I niching down too much?
I think given the fact that cybersecurity is quite a big market anyway, cyber is quite a big market. It's growing, growing at a rapid rate, and it continues to grow over the next 5-10 years. So I think what I would do is probably start by country, first of all. So look at the USA and then, but because the USA is its own pretty much continent with different time zones, if you're finding that you're spreading yourself too thin, but there's plenty of opportunity there, then you narrow it down to East Coast, West Coast. You could even do it Northeast, Midwest and West Coast. I suppose it depends on the amount of vacancies that you're able to pull in or generate, I would say.
I know that I take it my next step is to decide on the decision makers and on getting their data. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly that. Really, once you've found a niche, cybersecurity, every person who is going to buy your service will probably have the job title of CRO. If you're placing salespeople, this is, you're probably going to have CRO, CEO, VP of sales, or maybe even director of sales. I know that in the US they have funny job titles in that they say that they're a sales director, but they could just be having 6 months in sales. Yeah. So it is a case of research, spotting who it is that you want to do business with. And then I would suggest finding their emails, getting their email addresses and getting them into a CRM system.
Let's take a step back. How do we find the companies? What do we use? What tools?
There are loads of online research tools. So you would look at things like Hoovers, LinkedIn, Crunchbase. There's Angel List. There's any directory really where they're constantly refreshing the companies. Mm-hmm. And then showcasing the companies.
How do I get the right data out of that? How do I do all that quickly?
So you might have to put your hand in your pocket and pay for the license.
Okay.
But it'll be worth every penny. So once you put your hand in your pocket and paid for it, you would realistically, if you're talking about salespeople, well, where do salespeople hang out? They're always on LinkedIn. So you'd find the company, get a list of companies, and then you'd find every contact. Realistically, in this instance, you'd look at LinkedIn. I have a LinkedIn recruiter license and I'm not a recruiter. I have it because it helps my clients to find contacts. So if you're looking to recruit, then buy either self-navigator or recruiter or something like that.
Okay. And then what happens then? I've got this beautiful database. I'm coding it. I'm thinking.
Yeah. Just put your feet up. You don't have to do anything from there on in. Check out the bank account and watch the zeros roll in.
We'll make money someday, I promise, Charlotte. Okay, what happens now?
You have to contact them, don't you? People get pissed
off. But
there's
thousands of them. How can I contact them all, Rich?
Well, people get pissed off with the recruiters because all they do is say, "I've got this job. Do you want it? I've got this job. Do you want it?" And or the alternative is, "I've got this candidate. Do you want it? I've got this candidate. Do you want it?" And it's the same process every single time. Mm. So nowadays, I believe that not only do you have to contact these people with useful information, things that's going to help them. Let's face it, these CROs, they might have problems that recruiters have access to solving. You know, they might want to know who the top salespeople are, what people are paying, what commissions or OTEs or bonuses, variables, whatever it is. Recruiters have a lot of information that hiring managers could do with access to. So give them that information. And at the same time, oh, by the way, I've got this new business sales. You know, one of your problems is you need somebody with new business skills. Well, I've got this person based in New York. Do you want to meet them?
So you create some form of content that engages with them and then try and create value before you put in a product, or do you do a mixture of both?
Yeah, a mixture of both. I mean, the fastest way to open up a door is the product. In this instance, would be the candidate. That's absolutely the fastest way. But then if at the same time you're backing up your product with useful information and saying, oh, by the way, here's, top 10 companies in New York or whatever it is, whatever their problems might be. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, when they research you on LinkedIn, all of your posts and everything that you're engaging with is in and around cybersecurity sales in America, then they'll have a look at you and go, "Oh, that guy looks like he knows what he's talking about." So I'm more likely going to engage rather than, "Oh, I've got this candidate. Do you want to meet it?" And then they research about you and there's nothing, you don't do anything other than that.
And we only need to send one email, right?
Yeah. It's the fastest way to open a door. It really is. As much as recruiters will rely on the one email, it really does open the doors up quicker.
How many emails do we need to hit them with to get what we need? What is the data telling us?
So say, for example, you've got 1,000 contacts. Realistically, 700 of those will never do business with you. I think they're generally, the numbers are at least 70% will never and not want to do business with you in any way, shape or form. It's quite likely that 10 to 30 will. And as a recruiter, you only need, well, realistically, some recruiters only need one, but realistically, they're the kind of numbers that you need to be playing around with, in that for every 1,000 contacts, 10 people will probably do business with you at some point. Maybe not now, but within the next year or so. I would suggest you need to be contacting them very regularly. So certainly on the outset, if you're going to email all 1,000 people, you'd need probably to send 3 to 5 emails within a couple of weeks to them.
And there's some automation stuff that you use for that. Do you also use like MailChimp and things like that, or what?
When it comes to outreach, there's two different ways of looking at it. MailChimp is brilliant, but MailChimp is brilliant for people that actually have decided to be contacted by you. So if you're putting out content and then they subscribe, you'd have seen it where you subscribe to our newsletter and all that kind of stuff. MailChimp's really good for that kind of stuff, for sending one email to many at the same time.
Yeah.
However, if you're opening up a new market, you've just left Robert Walters, you had all that support, and now you've got no support and you've got nobody doing it. Basically, you need to contact 1,000 people. To do that in America would be illegal anyway because of the whole CAN Spam Act. And so what you would do is do it one by one. So email people one by one, but there are tools that will help you sort of email one by one. So you press go, it'll email them, it'll do the follow-up 2 or 3 days later, and then the follow-up after that, and all that kind of good stuff, really.
Okay, all right. Is it fair to say the follow-up is the most important thing?
Yeah, without fail, every time. For example, I'm running new business campaigns for people all the time, and the first email never gets as much traction as the second email. Because the second email is, in their mind is always, all right, so he's coming back for more. Is he going to be coming back for a third, fourth, or fifth? So I may as well reply and say either way.
What's your opinion on like video, sending videos and stuff like that?
I actually quite like it. I do like it when it's super targeted. You've got to balance up time versus outreach, really, because if you were to make, haven't tried it myself, if you were to make a 30 second to 1 minute video for 1,000 people, by the time you recorded the video, major mistakes and gone, oh, for God's sake, and I need a drink, and then the kids come running in downstairs, you're probably talking 5 to 10 minutes for each one.
Yeah.
Uploading it, sending it over. It's a ball ache. It's a massive ball ache. So I would say video is pretty good when it comes to the ABM, account-based marketing stuff, when you're actually going at one or two specific target accounts, or it may be if you're headhunting and if you're headhunting and you've got 10 candidates that you need, then that ultra bespoke approach is a very good way to go about doing it. But if you're doing it en masse, a video, it doesn't work en masse.
But Rich, I'm not really that creative. What should I send these people? Like, how do I know what's going to work?
A candidate will always open up the door. If you're in recruitment and you're not creative, then a candidate is the fastest way to open up the door.
Yeah.
And then a follow-up. Then realistically, you don't need to be so creative. This is what I was probably the message that people get nowadays is, recruiters need to be marketers. You don't. Recruiters need to be recruiters supported by marketing. Yeah. So in terms of being creative, I don't think you don't need a fancy down video that's, it might look good, but realistically, people pay you for the candidate. They don't pay you for how good your video is.
And then what happens after this stage? We're done. We're loaded. We've won all the clients.
Exactly. Yeah, again, put your feet up. You're counting. Charlotte's happy. You've got low. You've got your expensive wife is now satisfied. So yeah. It's the same process, really, in that you need each, depending on how the driver is for new business, I believe that you need that each week, each month, each quarter, whatever it is, you need that new business, right? Which companies have entered my market and who can I approach? After that, you also need to be an existing sort of program or game plan, if you will. And so that is where you're touching on, I use your podcast for as an example. You need to be creating, or some people might want to start creating other content that acts as a way that you look like you know what you're talking about. You might not know what you're talking about, but if you're sharing the views and opinions of
somebody who does, then.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, if you're sharing the views and opinions of CROs in cybersecurity, then it gives you that credibility, but that's being based on other people's credibility in the industry.
That's why we get big shots like yourself on here. It really,
Simon Pegg, you know, is a busy guy, to be fair. So.
What do you feel about like a multi-pronged approach in terms of, so you've kind of got the email stuff here. I take it you're encouraging recruiters to follow the same phone-based stuff that they've always done. What about the LinkedIn game plan for follow-ups? So you're adding a bit more of a personal identification. Have you got any tips around that side of it?
Yeah, so with the, when you're using an email platform, you can see who's opened it. And so you can always see if there's one person that's opened it 10 times, then realistically, I'd probably be putting in a call or do that video message that you said before. I'd probably use in something like, I know a lot of companies will have Odro. So using something like Odro, if you've not got Odro, use something like Vidyard.
Big shout out to Odro, who've recently become a sponsor of the Recruiter Startup Podcast. Thank you very much.
Hey, nice plug that was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly. That, at that point, when you know that somebody's interacting with your emails, then you send out a message, a video message like that, and you make it super bespoke. So, yeah, absolutely. The people that you want to contact are hanging around on LinkedIn. So making sure that the content that you're putting out there, if you can't create the content yourself, then share content that's going to be useful to them.
Why are we not all doing this?
Time, ability, knowledge, desire, skill. Probably one of many reasons, really, I'd say. I think recruits, I've never known an industry where one job has to do so many things. Recruiter has to not only source contacts, they have to contact them, they have to sell, they have to really negotiate, chase up the invoices, create their own images, use Canva or whatever, you know. So all of a sudden a recruiter becomes a sales, marketing, accountant, negotiator, customer success, and all this kind of stuff. And so it's like it's death by tasks, and so people will fall into what they're interested in, which sometimes is content, sometimes is, you know, new business, sometimes is let's just speak to the people I know. So it just depends on the individual.
And Rich, we give you access to our independent and startup recruiter group, The Dinghy, and feedback's pretty good. So I decided I had to get a slice of whatever magic you have. And we've had a look at doing this for our scale business, for the podcast, and for the leadership network. So why don't we get you on in a few weeks' time and we can discuss where we're at with it? And just demonstrate to everybody how this stuff actually works.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm speaking to a few of the people in your team, and it's a process that I absolutely believe in. It's a weird thing. It's like, so you want new business and you want clients, and I'm here to help you contact as many people with the best messages as possible. It's like a no-brainer, really. So yeah, absolutely, I'd love to sort of go through the journey with you and tell you what we can do, how we can work it, how we can prove all that kind of good stuff.
Our first chat, you did the demo with me, and I'm like, oh no, this isn't new information, I'm just not capable of putting this all into something. And so really appreciate it, and I'm excited to see the results, because I'm a big believer in put either a digital process or a human process in place, and you just know that it runs itself, and then you move on to the next thing. And that's what this does, you know. So it's it's great. Thanks very much for coming on. We will get you on in a few weeks' time, and we'll probably get into a bit more of the detail on everything. We'll see if we can get a few extra questions from the different groups within the leadership network for you.
Absolutely, yeah, brilliant. Yeah, thank you very much for having me on. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Great stuff, Richard Gibbard.